And we say to ourselves, what is orthodox? Well, it's defined as the quality or the state of being orthodox. Okay, so then what is orthodox? Orthodox is from the Greek orthodoxos, meaning conforming to doctrine or practices that are held to be right or true by an authority, standard, or tradition. Orthodox is applied to the church is really an adjective meaning the right or the true church. And what is the nature of the church? Well, we recite that every Sunday or every liturgy in the creed, where we say that the church has four characteristics. It is one, it is holy, it is Catholic, and it is apostolic. The church is apostolic, meaning that it is directly descended from the church of the apostles founded on Pentecost. From the selection of Matthias to replace Judas as one of the apostles down to the present, the bishops have been consecrated by bishops who have been consecrated, etc., etc., all the way back to the apostles. That's what gives the continuity to the church and the validity to the sacraments. Because there's the unbroken line of bishops going back to the apostles. But what did the first church do? What was its mission? Its mission was to bring the good news to the world, both Jew and Gentile. Immediately after receiving the Holy Spirit, Peter delivered his first sermon, and many were converted. And we can read that in the Acts of the Apostles in the second chapter. And after his sermon, it's recorded, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. You see how that's worded? 3,000 souls were added to them, to those who were in the church at the time. The apostles and the disciples of Christ. To them were added the 3,000 as they made up, okay, the church. Okay? As they comprised the church, they were added to. Further on in Acts, the three missionary journeys of Paul are described. St. Mark went to Egypt, founding the church in Alexandria. St. Andrew preached the faith to the eastern lands, going even to Kiev. And he founded the church in the then small village in what would become Turkey, the small village of Byzantium. St. Bartholomew preached as far as Armenia. St. Philip went to Syria and Asia Minor. That missionary activity continued after the apostles, with the church designating a number of saints as the, quote, equal of the apostles because of their missionary work. St. Mary Magdalene, who accompanied the apostles and brought the message of the resurrection to the Emperor Tiberius, along with, what did she give them? Everybody know? A red egg. An egg that turned red. Okay? That's where we get red eggs at Pascha from. St. Vladimir, enlightener of the Russian lands. St. Boris, baptizer of Bulgaria. St. Nina, enlightener of Georgia. St. Cyril and Methodius, teachers of the Slavs. And St. Innocent, the lightener of the Aleuts, an apostle to America. All of them were, you see, given that title, apostle because of their missionary work. And thus the missionary work is the mark of an apostle and the mark of an apostolic church. Jesus himself commanded this. This is known often as the Great Commission. And it ends Matthew's Gospel. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages." That's the Great Commission. That's what marks an apostolic church. And that's what needs to mark continually the Orthodox Church. If we profess to be an apostolic church, we have to be missionary. And how do we do this? First, before we can evangelize anyone, we have to evangelize ourselves. We have to know what it is to be Orthodox, and we have to practice being Orthodox. To be Orthodox is to be holy, and to be holy is to be set apart. To be different than the world. To live as followers of Christ and to practice our faith. That practice begins with coming to Divine Liturgy every Sunday. Liturgy means, as you, all of you from the parish know, constantly, right? Work of the people. And on Sunday mornings, we need to come to work. And what is our work? To give glory to God. You know, there's a saying, if you don't like the Divine Liturgy, you won't like heaven. Okay, because we're going to be standing around the throne of God giving glory, just like we do here on Sunday mornings, except we'll then get to see what we cannot see now. It's also where we renew our very lives by receiving the body and blood of Christ. We come here to renew ourselves, because Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats his flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." We have to, then. You know, and it's fallen into misuse in many Orthodox parishes, many Orthodox places. Once a year, communion is practiced, and it's from a false sense of piety and unworthiness. Because if you're unworthy to receive every Sunday, no amount of fasting and prayer will make you worthy on pasta. It's only by God's grace that we dare to approach the chalice. And that grace is given to us in confession on a regular basis. We have to confess our sins so that we are in right relationship with God before we approach the chalice. Finally, we have to try to lead Orthodox lives befitting repentance. Repentance has to have its fruits. And if we say we repent and then go out in the world and we lead lives just like everybody else does, we're not practicing orthodoxy. If we're to be missionary, we have to be welcoming in our parishes. When strangers visit, we need to go up to them. We need to greet them with a smile, to talk to them, to be sure that they have a service book so they can follow along. Anybody ask if you had a service book?
Yes, indeed.
They did?
Thank you.
Who did? Point them out. Very good. She's part of our committee that's supposed to be doing that. Make sure they have one. Services need to be in the language of the people. That's what the council says. Language of the people. And in America, that language is English. None of us speaks either Church Slavonic or Classical Greek. We are not keeping our young people. There's a hemorrhage of them from many of our Orthodox churches because they want to worship. But they want to worship in a language they understand and a language they can participate in. They want to be a part of our worship service. They don't want to be a spectator. And that means that our choirs are going to have to lead congregational singing, as chorful as it may be. Where's Matryoshka Sonia? It's a whole new adventure, right?
Of course.
Okay? But that's it. We're all supposed to be singing. We're all a part of it. We don't change our core beliefs to try to make us look more attractive. I read an article not too long ago. I told Father Peter, he thought I made it up, that there was some church around here where they have a Starbucks in the lobby. And you can buy your latte and your mocha and sit in there and sip on it while you're, I guess, entertained by the singers and the plasma televisions. God bless them. It may be really entertaining and a lot of fun to go there. But it isn't church. And it isn't worshiping Jesus the way it was intended to be. The Orthodox Church is not... Some people will say this to me then. Well, if you do all that, the Orthodox Church is not what I grew up in Pittsburgh 50 years ago or 60 years ago. I'm picking on Pittsburgh. It could be anywhere. Okay? You've all heard that statement. The church is not what I grew up in 50 or 60 years ago. It's not the church of Russia 350 years ago. It's not the church of the last millennium. It's the church of the apostles. Going back to that Acts of the Apostles we read from about Peter's sermon and the conversion, shortly after that it says, "And so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." That's what we're supposed to do. Go out and find the people who need to be saved. If we don't change, we will not be missionaries. We won't even be missionaries to our own children. And there are plenty of these non-Orthodox churches waiting to take them in. It is not enough to simply come to church and to receive the sacraments and to welcome the stranger who comes to our parish. We must also practice our faith in our daily lives. No one's going to be attracted to Orthodoxy if we're mean, angry, complaining, if we cheat on our taxes, tell filthy jokes, if we gossip, if we're rude and arrogant. No one will want to be like us. If we don't feed the hungry, clothe the naked, comfort the sorrowing, give drink to the thirsty, if we're not God obedient, why would he send anyone to us? I've said that many times here. If we are not God obedient people, picture somebody down on their knees in Tampa, begging God to point to them the right and true church and to send them there. Why would he send them to us if we were God disobedient rather than God obedient? We have to be God obedient in all things. Things that we may not like. We may say, well, I don't know why I have to do that. Sometimes we have to surrender our will. Do not feel that we're superior in anything, but rather to listen to what the church is telling us. If the church is not one church, but divided, because we said the church is supposed to be one, but divided into numerous churches based on cultural groupings, then we are not the one church that we profess to be in the creed. The true church is one. Christ came to found his church. Let's look at Matthew 16. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. And all of it, you know, in America there's something like 50,000 different denominations, Protestant denominations. It's insane. Because anybody can start a church, you know? Really? You can have, you know, the Reverend, usually it's the Reverend Bishop, okay, Billy Bob, in the church of what's happening now and in the future. And it's a church. And how many times I have people say, well, it's all one God. Well, I say, well, okay, let's examine. It's all one God. Do you believe that Buddha is God? Well, no, I don't believe that Buddha. Well, how about some Hindu cow? No. So now we have to start looking at, listen, any church that professes Jesus Christ, true God and true man, and the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has some degree of truth in it. The question is, where is the fullness of the church? Where is that church that Jesus Christ said, will the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and it will endure until he comes again? That church has to be found someplace, or else Jesus lied to us. And we know he didn't do that. That church is the Orthodox Church. The one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And in America, where we're very, you know, we hate to say anything's better than anything else. We're very pluralistic. Well, you know, it works for them and it works for you. And this is just good, but that's good. We don't want to say there's one holy Catholic and apostolic church, and it's the Orthodox Church. This is the one founded by Christ. In the Acts of the Apostle, Paul addresses the elders at Ephesus and refers to the church purchased with the blood of Christ. He writes this to the Ephesians, or rather, he's speaking to the Ephesians in Acts of the Apostles. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You know, I once asked the priest why he thought we were having such trouble, it seems, to bring the word of, and the truth of Orthodoxy to America. And he quickly answered, because of the sin and the scandal of the fact of all these divided Orthodox churches. That is a great shame. It's always one country, one church. But here, because of many, many things, we have all the different ethnic churches. And we're not united. And we think that that's the way it should be in America. There needs to be one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Finally, we have to be the Catholic Church. Too often we think of Catholic in its common definition as being universal, and then say, well, we're on all six continents, so we must be the Catholic Church. We're universal. But Catholic means general. We are to be the general church, the church. The church of Christ to which all are members. And for this to happen, we have to be missionary. We have to bring the word. If I hear people that are from my parish never know, they cringe if anybody comes around me and says, Orthodoxy is the best kept secret. Ooh, you don't want to say that to me, because then my answer is shame on you, shame on us. Shame on us. If we say that this is the true Church of Christ, unbroken from the time of the apostles, and then we would even let that come from our lips, that it's a kept secret. Shame on us. We went to the state fair for 12 days. We had to man the booth 13 hours a day for 12 days. And people would come up to us. Right? And one of the big questions, say, are you Russian or Greek? And we say, we're Orthodox. Let me tell you about Orthodoxy. That was our lead-in. Okay? But we were there to witness first to Christ and then to the holy faith of Orthodoxy. We weren't there to grow the church. That wasn't our purpose. That would be sinful for us to go there and think that we were going to go there and we would decide who would come here. We sowed seeds. The Lord will supply the rain. And it doesn't matter if anybody comes here at all. Scripture says, the sower and the reaper shall rejoice together. We sowed, somebody else shall reap. Glory, and the glory belongs to God. Missionary work can take time and money. It took us a lot of time and a lot of money. Right? But it was worth it, and we did it. And my after-action reports from all the people that participated was we should go again next year. And I didn't have a mass meeting. That's why I emailed you, so I could get individual feedback. Every single person thought we should go back next year. Because why? By being there, they caught the missionary spirit. You have to be Orthodox at work and Orthodox in school. That doesn't cost anything to be Orthodox at school. To live an Orthodox life where people can see in you Jesus Christ. Where the student who no one wants to associate is one that you will have lunch with. Where respect for the teachers and the professors is what you give because you are Orthodox and you know honor to whom honor is due. The workplace. We need to give an honest day's work for our wages. And that may be a strange idea in America. Maybe it's catching on more now that people are worried about their jobs, though. But we have to be the worker that's the best worker. The uncomplaining worker. Because that's what it means to be Orthodox. Honor to whom honor is due. You see, that's how we practice missionary. And when people ask us about our faith, don't be afraid to share it with them. The country needs us. We are in a post-Christian, neo-pagan era with man as our false god. That's who our false god is, man. He can solve everything. And what is our greatest sin? Abortion. We were there in Washington again this year with a large Orthodox presence, but by no means large enough. Every metropolitan, every bishop, every archbishop, every priest should be there. America needs us and needs our witness, both when it's good and when it does evil. And we have to be the witnesses for that. And we need to be there and continue that every year. Finally, don't be afraid of any of this, because the Lord is always with us. This is what Paul wrote to the Ephesians about the church. He says, Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. It's not ours, it's His. I always tell the people, when we first came here, I hope you remember this, those who came as the missionaries, I always said to them, never pray that God blesses what we do. Pray rather that God lets us be a part of what He wants to do in Tampa. Otherwise, we start to think our ideas are His ideas. Maybe they're not. And we have to be open and we have to listen, because He is the head of the church. He says, Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So that's what it means to be Orthodox. To be a member of that holy Catholic, one holy Catholic and apostolic church, and then to be missionaries to the rest of the world to bring the truth of that gospel message. Before I move on, how did I miss you back there? Where are you from?
South Carolina.
South Carolina? You visiting us?
Yeah.
Good. You know, in Florida we have a motto, keep Florida green, bring money. How long are you here?
A couple weeks.
Good. You came here to work? Good. Did we have work here for people?
Yes.
Good. We still have work. Okay. God will be good if we are true to Him. Okay. And this is where that truth begins. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Now let us all say with all our soul, with all our mind.